Now, if you're a guest in the room and I bomb, the real team will be back next week. So I'm just visiting, so I want to make sure that if you're visiting and I really, you know, lay an egg, you're coming back. It's a privilege to be here, actually. Steve invited me to come and said it'd be nice to have somebody from the Mothership Third Church. It's amazing. I'm a father, three grown children, all married. I've got grandkids. Amazing to watch your children grow up and surpass you in many ways. It's really kind of a cool thing to see. And that's the way Third Church really thinks about the way, in many ways, you have surpassed where we are as a church. And so we're grateful for you. We're grateful to be in partnership in ministry with you in this region. So it's good to be here. Now, since Steve isn't here, I get to tell one story on him. Years and years ago, about a decade ago, maybe longer, 15 years ago probably, I would see this big dude working back in the sound booth at Third Church, and I wondered who he was. And he introduced himself to me, so I invited him into our leadership development process at Third Church. And Steve went through all the stuff and was moving in the ranks and starting to do some things, and one day he calls me up and he's kind of complaining. And he said, hey, I want to meet with you, Kevin, and Jason, and I want to, you know, try to tighten up some things here at Third Church and so forth. So we met with Steve. And at the end of the meeting, after Steve was kind of carping and complaining to Kevin, Kevin turned to him and said, hey, big boy, why don't you go plant a church on your own and do it the way you want to do it? Steve told me later he wanted to just punch Kevin's lights out. Steve went home that night, and the Holy Spirit got a hold of him. And he said yes, and he sold his business, and he came here, and here is the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. Really, really amazing, amazing things happening here. So we salute you at Third Church. We love you. We praise God for you, and keep going, keep going. Before we get into the message for the morning, I have a personal word that I want to give to you. About a year ago, how many of you here are aware of Prophecy, Prophetic Network, the Lord's still speaking today? Raise your hand. Would you stand up if you know the Lord still speaks? Just stand up. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. Awesome. So we have people here who agree the Lord still speaks. That's all I need you to do is to be seated. I want to make sure I'm not dropping a bomb on anybody here. We, in our neck of the woods, have been hearing that there's revival in the making. God's moving. Excuse me. God is moving. Now, the revival we're talking about is not some tent, funky tent thing. What we're talking about is transformed people. We're talking about people who know the Word of God. We're talking about people who know how to move with the Holy Spirit. Thank you. We're talking about people who are not afraid in an impromptu moment to step into it in the Spirit and to do ministry. This revival that is coming is going to need those kinds of people, average people like me and you who know the Lord well, who are able to move in the Spirit, and who are not afraid but to be bold and to go for it. Well, what we were seeing in our neck of the woods in Pella is we see all kinds of infrastructure changes. We're seeing all kinds of things happening. Roads getting built. Airports getting built. The Des Moines Airport's going to have a massive renovation. In other words, we're going to be able to receive people here in the central Iowa for what is coming. So at Third Church, I asked the question of my leadership team. I said, how in the world, if indeed the Lord is doing this, do we prepare our people? So I'm going to give you a date in a moment. You're going to go, ooh, this is scary. Because I think most preachers, prophets that I hear dates from are quacks. I'm going to give you one in a minute. Listening in the Spirit, we're hearing 2023. Something is coming. Don't know exactly what. It'll be lay-driven. It could be circumstantial, historical. It could be the U.S. economy. It could be something, a natural disaster. We don't know. We don't know what. Only God knows. What we are hearing is something is coming. Now, in February of this past year, my wife and I went to Israel. And I was one of those guys where I don't need to travel anywhere. I like the 48 contiguous states, and I'm great here in America. I had a minister friend who went to Israel. He came back and he was all jazzed and he said, you need to go to Israel. You need to go to Israel. And I said, I don't want to go to Israel. I don't want to go to Israel. 2 weeks later, a fairly wealthy couple in our church walks in and says, hey, we want to take you and Chris to Israel. I guess I'm going to Israel. And I want you to know that was about the 11th time in my life where I've eaten these size 11 shoes where you tell the Lord you're not going to do something. You make an inner vow and he says, we'll see about that. So I was not going to the military, did it. I was not going to be a school teacher, did it. I was never moving back to Pella, Iowa, did it. Never going to be a preacher, there's too many of those in our family. Well, here we are, and I'm trying. Okay, we're trying. Point, don't make inner vows. At any rate, Chris and I were in Israel in February, and it was on February 16, it was a Friday. We're at the Sea of Galilee, we're at the Seven Springs, where some saltwater springs pour into the Sea of Galilee. And we had seen the site where Jesus had been with the fishermen. We're back on our bus, we're with Mike and Janet Huckabee, and we have 300 people with our group. And we're on the blue bus, and Chris and I are fatigued that day, and we're sitting in our chair, and a woman walks onto the bus. Her name was Esther Berry, she lives in Tampa, Florida. And she says, I've been studying you for a week, you and your wife. And she says, I have a word from the Lord for you, for your wife, and for your region, if you'll bring it back, for your church, and the church is connected with your church. I said, bring it on, Esther, I'll take it. She said, mark this date, 2023. Put it in writing. The Lord is going to bring thousands and thousands of people to Central Iowa to encounter God's love through the people of Central Iowa. And you're going to be part of it. We're going to be part of it. Every teaching you have from Steve, Marcy, the team, Aaron, whoever else is going to come up and do their thing, soak it up. Get into the Word. Learn your spiritual giftedness. Don't be afraid of stepping into situations, and the Holy Spirit will give you what you need, because you are going to be used in huge, huge ways. So what I would like to do before we begin the Word for the day is to pray a blessing on you. So would you just plop your hands open like this, and I'm going to bless you, okay? Lord Jesus, I thank you for the people of the way. They are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. And Lord, you have a lot of other sheep out there who don't yet know you, and you're going to use these people to bless them in Jesus' name. You're going to channel spiritual gifts, power, healing, words of encouragement to people. These people are going to know your Bible, your word, your gospel, and they're going to share it with many. And many are going to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus and have their lives transformed because of these people. So I want to thank you for them. I pray that this word lands on all here, Lord God, that nobody would minimize themselves, but that they would understand that they've been bought with a price, a huge price, and they're now free in Christ, which is what we're going to talk about today, to go ahead and be the person that you've created them to be. So, Lord, I thank you for them. I bless this church in your most holy name, and I thank you that I could deliver your message to them today as it pertains to revival. So, Lord, bless everyone here and all God's people said. Amen. Amen. Today we're going to continue Freedom From series, and we're going to talk about freedom from sin, freedom from self, freedom to follow the Holy Spirit, and then freedom to serve other people. So we'll continue on with this freedom theme. The text I chose comes out of Galatians 5, where Paul says, basically, we want to keep in step with the Spirit, but we're operating and living in freedom because that's what Christ wants us living in. Now, in Galatia, the problem Paul's addressing in this short six-chapter letter is that these dudes called Judaizers have snuck into the midst of all these Galatian churches, these Greek churches, and they said, hey, in order for you to become a Christian, you got to go back and do some of the Jewish stuff like circumcision, which makes me divert to a quick joke right here. There's this Jewish rabbi, and he's got this class of young rabbis together, and he says to them, you know, Yahweh, he gave the Iranians oil. He gave the Iraqis oil. He gave the Saudi Arabians oil. He gave Qatar oil. What did he give the Jews? Silence. Silence in the room. Finally, one boy in the back with the curls raises his hand and sheepishly says, circumcision? I have you know that Israel has more than circumcision. We were just there. And Israel had the largest natural gas find in the history of the world off of the Mediterranean coast. Amazing what God is doing in Israel. Paul's confronting these Judaizers because they are torquing the gospel of grace. In Galatians 3:11, Paul says, from the first to the last, it's about faith. So we come to faith in what God is doing in Christ and receive our salvation, and then we live our life in faith. We don't stand on religious rites. We don't stand on certain ways of doing tradition. We stand on the grace of God and on his grace alone. So I'd like to read the text from Galatians 5:1, and then 13, 14, and 16. I can actually read that. That's good. That's terrible getting old when you have glasses and you can't see a darn thing anymore. Here we are. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. In other words, you don't have to do this churchy stuff. Live in freedom. Next one, please. Verse 13, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. And verse 16, and so Paul says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, and then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Can I have my first slide, please? I want to unpack Galatians 5:1 here for just a moment. Notice it says, it is for freedom, and I put in parentheses, from sin, that Christ has died for us to set us free. People live in America, I'm free, I can do whatever I want. No, you can't. No, you can't. It's called Constitution. It's called the law. You can operate in freedom in that context. Paul here is saying to Christians, remember, it's for freedom from sin, which is why Christ died, so that you can be free from sin and live the abundant life that God would have you live. Now, I'm going to date myself here. How many of you 1960s, 70s people remember the Up With People group? Up With People, you meet them wherever you go. Remember that? They had a song. It was called Freedom Isn't Free. Freedom isn't free. Freedom isn't free. You have to pay the price. You have to sacrifice for your liberty. There was a general by the name of George with a small band of men at Valley Forge. He left the comfort for the cold and the ice, and they won our independence, and they paid the price. Point is this, there is no freedom ever without the shedding of blood, ever. So Jesus shed his blood for us. And once we say yes to Jesus, you are now free. Would you say I'm free? Most of you don't believe it. We only think we're partially free. Anybody here ever heard of memory of an elephant? Memory of an elephant. So circuses abounded, and I got corrected by somebody in the first service that Barnum and Bailey Circus didn't go defunct because of PETA and animals. They just weren't making money. So get rid of that. Point, when an elephant calf is born, they'll chain its leg and they'll stake it into the ground. That little calf will pull against that, and it can't get loose. When they're older and they're behemoths, all they have to do is tie a twine around its foot, stake it, and that big elephant thinks it cannot get free. That's what's known as memory of an elephant. Now, we Christians often have the memories of elephants in that we could snap that twine like it was nothing because we're now free in Christ, but we don't think that we can do it. And we need some help. We need some reminders on how we can do it. And this is to encourage you here today. I'm going to share with you something in my own life where I was ushered into the freedom that I fully have in Christ that I struggled with for absolute years. But I want some admission from some men first in this room. How many men in this room struggle with anger issues? Do you have anger issues? Stand up, please. And oh, women too. I love it. Nice. If you struggle with anger issues, period, will you stand up? We're including the girls in this one too. Thank you. You may be seated. All right. Probably 16 years ago, I was conversing with my brother Kevin, who's also a pastor, and we were doing a genogram. We were studying our family's iniquitous patterns, generational sins in our family line, things that hang us up. We found everything there in our family line except for incest. The truth is it had to be there too because we're fallen people. At any rate, Kevin asked me a question, and we're bros who can talk about stuff honestly, and Kevin knew then that I could get so angry I could see red like a bull and just become destructive. Anybody here have that thing too sometimes? Yeah? All right. I've often wondered what's at the root of that thing. So what happened was we went to a prayer conference, and we went to a prayer conference in Jacksonville, Florida with Francis and Judith McNutt. We prepared all week long for a Thursday night baptism in the Holy Spirit service where when you become a follower of Jesus, you're given a full measure of the Spirit. But Paul in Ephesians says, keep being filled with the Spirit. Keep activating the Spirit in your life so you can grow in the fruit and in your gifting. So we heard teaching all day long. That was fantastic. It was going to culminate that night in a baptism of the Spirit service. So the Holy Spirit whispered to me just in the as the afternoon session ended, that he wanted me to go run around Jacksonville, and I knew exactly what it was. The Lord didn't say, Keith, run around Jacksonville. I just had a sense of I was to do it, and I knew why. I'm a very willful person. I have a strong will. Anybody else here have a strong will? I think we got a room full of those. And anytime the Lord's moving toward me with his Spirit, there's always a little bit of a fear thing in me that kind of holds the Lord off a little bit. So the Lord wanted me to run my tail off, to get rid of my energy, so that when I came to the baptism of the Spirit service, I would come with open hands, and I would come weak, and I would come ready to receive. It was fascinating. Francis McNutt, a married Catholic priest, was moving around the room, highly anointed, didn't come anywhere near me, but just laid his hands over me, and he just prayed the Lord's blessing on me, the Lord's healing from my heart. Lord, whatever this man needs, give it to him. Now, what's interesting, when the Holy Spirit is moving, he's a gentleman. He never forces you to do anything. If you have the gift of tongues in here, you know that you can turn tongues on and off, that you have a sovereignty of your will, and you cooperate with the Holy Spirit with this gifting. Well, likewise, there was a pressure being exerted on me, and I knew I could have fought it. I was so sick of my anger. I was so sick of the memory of this past thing, like that elephant tied to the twine that I couldn't break, that I just leaned back and went, and there were no catchers. And we were in this hotel ballroom, and normally people get caught, and they get laid down nicely, and I just went down and didn't feel a thing on carpeted concrete floor, and I stayed there for about 15 minutes. 2 years later, I had another experience. It's called carpet time, where it was 45 minutes. But in this first experience, I'm laying down. I don't have a feeling of the ground under me. I'm in a state of extreme peace. And in my inner being, in my guts, I can feel things moving down here. Now, the Hebrews teach us in the Old Testament that your spirit resides down here in your kidneys. So all of us know deep grief. And you know when you know deep grief, it comes from down here and just, oh. It was that kind of something going on. It was not cognitive. And then I woke up. I came out of it. It was like God's presence came off of me. I wound up leaving the conference, and the minute I walked in the door and saw my wife, who's sitting right there, she looked at me and she said, you have changed. I said, I know. I said, I'm not completely changed, but I felt a couple clicks of some things happen. Now, here's what would happen in my life. My wife is an adult child of an alcoholic, so I don't drink, but if I would lose at a racquetball game or things don't go my way, you would see me just flame out and just be carrying it all day long. And I would lose to Al Hibbert, who's the best player for the Iowa games for our age bracket, and I only beat Al once ever in about 25 years. And I'd come in the door, and Chris's back would be to me at the sink, and she'd go, you lost, didn't you? And I'd say, how do you know? She said, I can feel your energy force field around you that is just evil, man. It's wicked. It's vile. It's competitive. It's, I want to kill. She could feel it, and she knew it. And I used to always say to her, but I don't drink. I'm not a drunk. I'm not experiencing putting on you what your dad did to your family. And she says, I don't care. It's the same dark energy. So I got healing from that. But it caused me to do some more discovery. My brother Kevin and I were talking one time, and he said, have you ever wondered what mom's womb was like when you were in her? He confessed to me. He said, Keith, I got the clean womb. The rest of you guys got the used womb. Okay, he was firstborn. And if you know Kevin, he is a gentle, gentle soul and has always been. I've always been jacked up with the potential for bull red anger. My brother Ken has always had this performance thing about him. He doesn't perform and whatever. My brother Chris had something else. But the bottom line was this. I asked my mom, I said, Mom, what was going on in you when I was in you? She said, Keith, I was a young preacher's wife. I hated being a preacher's wife. We lived in a fishbowl. The elders of the church would come over when Dad wasn't home, check to see if I was keeping the house clean. All this pressure was on me. And then you, Ken, and Chris, we wanted you all to be girls, and you were boys. We wanted girls to be done with this deal. We had two boys, Kevin and Carl, and we wanted a girl, and we never got it. And I went, thank you, I got it. So I was praying with the Lord, Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, would you help me get to the root of this thing? And the word disappointment came up. Ah. My parents' disappointment, my mother's disappointment in particular, intrauterine spiritual transferred to me so that whenever I lost and would get angry, I would always think that I was a disappointment. That's huge. The Holy Spirit gave me the pin to put back into my grenade whenever disappointment came my way. And I could ask myself, Keith, why are you getting so mad here? What is it that you're disappointed in? And then I could name it. You see, the Lord helped me get full disclosure and healing so that I could understand what, in fact, the Lord was wanting to give me freedom from my brokenness, from my broken family, from my sin. I love this word that John has here in John 8:36. So when the Son of Man sets you free, he says, you shall be free indeed. But many of us here live like elephant memory, and we've got the twine tied to our feet. And the truth is this, the truth is that you are free. And you and I are being called to learn to live into this new freedom that we have in Christ. Anybody here heard of Graham Cook? Wonderful prophet, wonderful writing. The dude, I don't know how he gets his downloads from the Lord, but some of the stuff that he has shared is so magnificent, it's incredible. He says, when you say yes to Jesus in your life, God the Father is no longer looking at your sin. He cannot. Because when Christ died for your sins on the cross, he died for all of them. Therefore, the question is, why do you keep looking at your sin? Why do you keep looking at your twine? We should be looking to our Savior, who's causing the new spirit man, the new spirit woman who's emerging, to just squash out and crucify the old person. See, here's the joyful thing I want you to have today. We're in a process of growing, of learning, and you need to give yourself a break. I'm not talking about open sin. If you're openly sinning, you need to repent. We'll talk about repentance at the end of this message here. I'm just talking about day-to-day living. Give yourself a break because you're now living in grace by faith in the shed blood of Christ for your sins. I once had a charismatic woman who I was explaining this to, how I used to just beat myself up. She explained to me what was happening in the spiritual dynamics of that. How many of you beat yourself up when you fail or when you sin or whatever internally? Would everybody just say, stop it? Stop doing it. Here's what's happening. In Romans 7, the Apostle Paul shows you there's two of you in you. There's your old nature person. There's your new nature person. I shared this predicament I have when I used to do that, and this charismatic woman came up to me, and she said, do you realize, Keith, you're letting your old man mug your new man? Why don't you let your new man, your old man, by trusting in the finished work that God has for you in Jesus Christ? Because when Jesus does his work, he sets us free indeed. Now notice the movement here in the text. It's for freedom from sin, which is why Christ came to set us free. Let's go to the next slide. So Paul goes on and he says, now, do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. If I had an underliner right here, I'd underline the first three words, do not let. Notice in the text here, in the first part of 5:1, Jesus, God has done the work of giving us freedom. Totally God's work. We're saved by grace through faith. Done deal. In the second half of 5, we have a role to play now in this. It's called sanctification. It's called purification. Sanctification is a technical term of being made more like Jesus. And sanctification technically means it's a role of both God and man. Would you say God and man? God and me. There we go. I'm taking you right now to Philippians 2, 12 and 13. One of my favorite texts in the Bible. The Apostle Paul writes to the Philippian church. He says, now, you guys are doing really great, and I want you to continue to work out your salvation. Wait a second. I thought I was saved by grace through faith. You are. You're not listening to me. You're saved by grace through faith. That's taken care of. But now I want you to do something. Paul goes on in verse 13. He says, you're saved. Paul says, verse 12, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God in you who helps you to will and to act according to his good purposes. Now think about our different set points now. Abba loves you. He's given you freedom in Christ. The new man, the new woman is emerging, and now he says, I'm inviting you into the process where you're going to help own the process of shaping your person by cooperating with my spirit. I'm going to give you a God will within you to choose more and more to be like Jesus. Now, Graham Cook said something at one conference one time that absolutely blew my mind. So I want you to turn to the person next to you on either side, and I want you to repeat these words. You do not have to sin anymore. You do not have to do fill in the blank. You don't have to do it. Question, what is it? You don't have to sin anymore. The next time temptation comes to you, you notice you're going to have your old man, your old woman, your new woman. You're going to be sitting at a Y on a road having to make a decision. Am I going to do this thing? Or am I going to be obedient to the Lord? I want you to remember this. You don't have to do it anymore. And then empowering, you don't have to. Make a different choice. Follow the Holy Spirit. Now, what's interesting here, freedom from self. I love looking at Isaiah 14, 8 through 15, because we get a picture of Satan himself. Now, don't go there. I'm just going to tell you what it is. But Anton LaVey, back in the 1970s, wrote a satanic Bible. And the first commandment in the satanic Bible, if you didn't ever read it, you would think would say, worship Satan. No. The first commandment in the satanic Bible is satiate yourself. Get everything you can out of life for you. In Isaiah 14, Lucifer was the head choir master. He wanted to steal God's throne because God was getting all the glory from the universe because God is glorious and he deserves all praise. And he wanted to satiate and marinate in God's glory. And God said, I'm sorry, there's only one of me. Kaboom, you're out of here. So the challenge at hand with the old man, old woman, is satiation. If I can't trust God, I'm going to grab it on my own. The new man, the new woman who's living by faith says, no, I'm going to trust. I remember when I was in seventh grade, I was in a Laurel Pines winter camp, and a guy was sharing the basics of the gospel faith, and he told a story about this satiation with a guy who wound up going to hell. Now the guy, his dream in life was to be a NASCAR racer. Kind of appropriate for Newton, Iowa here. He wanted to be a NASCAR racer his whole life, and then after every race, he wanted to get the groupie girl. So he wanted to win the race, and he wanted to get the girl, and lo and behold, he died. And lo and behold, in the afterlife, he wound up at the NASCAR track. For 10,000 years, the guy won the race. For 10,000 years after the race, the guy got the girl. So after 10,000 years of this, he goes up to the angel, and he says to the angel, hey, this heaven stuff is like boring. I want to go to hell, maybe where there's some action. And the angel looks at him and says, sorry, dude, you are in hell. Back to the races. Get back. You see, what hell is actually going to be, people who've been there and come back said it's an isolating place. People are there saying and thinking whatever they want it to be in the center. And fire. And weeping. Because God is not there. So, the point is this. Once we have freedom in Christ, the next phase is cooperating with the Lord so we can have freedom from self. I'm a grandfather now, and I look at my grandchildren, and you know what? I am not important anymore. I am loved deeply by God. I am not important. You know who's important? My grandchildren are important because they need to know Jesus. Other people around me are important because they don't know him yet. I'm loved, but I'm not important. Notice how the Lord moves us, freedom from sin, freedom from self-fixation, to move us into the next phase, which is freedom to walk with the Holy Spirit. Can I have the next slide, please? Paul goes on in 5:16, so he says, I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. I'm going to go to Dr. Mark Verkler for a little bit of help here because he summarizes the work of the Spirit here so well so we can learn how to move with the Holy Spirit. Verkler says there's three basic operations in the Holy Spirit in our lives. He says when you're saved, when you repent of your sin and you welcome Jesus as Lord and Savior, receiving a new heart and a new spirit that displaces your formal evil desires, with a passion for truth, for love, and for righteousness. There's a second phase. You're filled with the Holy Spirit when you are tuned to and releasing the flow of the indwelling Holy Spirit, who is saturating and invigorating your heart. And he's anointing your mind, he's anointing your will and your emotions, your speech and your hands, as you yield them to the flow of the river of God within you. Would you say the word yield? I'm taking you to John 7, verses 37 through 39. This is one of the most incredible texts I've ever seen. I didn't see it in this context until Dr. Verkler taught me this. Jesus is at the Feast of Tabernacles at the temple. And he comes out of the temple and he starts yelling. If you look at the Greek, he's yelling, "Out of you will flow streams of living water." And John, in parenthetic brackets, says, by this, he meant the Holy Spirit who was going to be in you, was going to flow up in you, and was going to walk with you as the paraclete and inform you about life. Here's the point, the Holy Spirit's flow. Would you say the Holy Spirit is flow? Holy Spirit is flow. Say it again. And the Holy Spirit flows within me. That's right. So we pay attention to the flow of the Holy Spirit in us when we're in context because God is speaking. We can be led by the Spirit. We can keep in step with the Spirit. The trick in the whole thing is keeping our eyes focused on Jesus, and it's literally a minute-by-minute adventure or misadventure. I know when I take my eyes off of Jesus, off the Spirit of Christ in my life, I fall into a ditch immediately, and I just get so frustrated. And this is why we can turn from the sinful nature, because we're new in Christ, and we can be a part of the sanctification of the self if we keep our eyes focused on Jesus. How many of you here know your sin patterns? I like this lady in the back. You're pretty astute, whoever you are. What's your first name? Thank you. She's been really with me the whole time. Thank you. You're encouraging me to keep with it. I study my sin patterns. I know when I'm most predisposed to sin. I'm most predisposed to sin, number one, when I take my eyes off of Jesus in a context. Like right now, I'm focusing on Jesus because I'm not sure what I'm going to say next. Help me, Lord. Number two, I take my eyes off Jesus when I get tired. When I get tired, I get weak. And when I'm weak, I sin really good. Anybody here say yes to that one? Point, get to bed. Get to bed. Nothing good happens late at night. Okay, so we keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Mark Verkler goes on and he says, you know you're baptized in the Holy Spirit when you're able to operate in the gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to give you. Can I have that summary statement from Mark? Mark summarizes all this very quickly, and he says, living filled with the Holy Spirit on a moment-by-moment basis means that you are tuned to and sensing the divine flow of the river of God within you, connecting to him, the Holy Spirit, and releasing him through your outer faculties as you walk through life. Your eyes are on Jesus. You are Christ conscious. You are humble in heart, believing in Jesus' power, his might and wisdom within you, rather than in your own, and releasing the divine river of the Holy Spirit through your life, demonstrating faith, hope, love, joy, peace, and all the rest of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. After the first service, a gentleman named Todd hit me up. Would you know who he would be? He was at the Four Keys of Hearing God's Voice conference. Yep. And he came to me and he said, Keith, I cannot believe how the Holy Spirit is flowing in me in the morning when I journal and spend time listening. He said, my life is changing. My relationship with my wife is improving. My business is changing because I'm starting to flow with the Holy Spirit. Marcia can talk to you about a class called Four Keys to Hearing God's Voice. I beg you, take it. God is speaking all the time. We have to get into the flow. Okay, let's go ahead and finish up today with the last slide, which is, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, so do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another. I just want to focus on the one another piece. Focusing our eyes on Jesus and looking at God or other people is the trick for keeping and moving out of the sinful nature. I have a friend who's a believer in Christ, but he's mentally ill. Struggles with mental health. And I asked him a question. I said, what is it that you do that helps you most when you slide into massive depression or into your illness. He says, Keith, if I don't look beyond me out there to other people and I keep my focus here, he said, it's literally a spiritual toilet bowl. He said, I have to look out here. I had a woman in my dad's church many years ago who was an uneducated person but very observant about life. She said there's only two kinds of people in life, actually. You're either living only for you, or you're living for Jesus and you're looking out for other people. And she said the people who look out for other people are the healthiest people on the planet. Because as you give, you receive. Last thought I want to lift this morning is, sometimes when our eyes are not out there and they're here, we occasionally fall into old mud puddles. Who here falls into an old mud puddle occasionally? All right. Remember Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we're learning we are not going to condemn ourselves. What you do is you repent immediately. Would you say that wonderful word, repent? Repent. Repent. Our family had a Corver Legacy cruise back in 2009. My father and mother paid for a trip for the whole clan to go. We put together a book for the trip, and my parents asked all of us, their children, to write love notes of encouragement and blessing and impartation for the grandchildren, that when you die, what do you want to leave your children? Here's what I wrote to my children. I want you to embrace repentance as an everyday activity, because you know what, folks? I don't do very many things well in life, but I can brag about one thing I do really well. I repent really well. I repent daily. I'm repenting multiple times because I am usually wrong. It's interesting, if you get a soft heart and you get a soft spirit, repentance isn't that big of a deal. And it keeps relationships open. And it helps me to refocus so that I stay in the freedom that I have in Jesus Christ. Repentance is a wonderful, wonderful word and thing to do. The early church fathers have a spiritual discipline called the examination. At the end of every day, they sit down and they journal. What went well today? What went wrong today? Who do I need to make reparation to, restitution to, ask forgiveness of, so that tomorrow when I get up, I'm living in freedom with Christ? I began this service with this thought. We are all in a process. I began this service with this thought. If we can learn the Lord's word, if we can learn how to operate in the Spirit, if we can learn to be humble people who knew how to move impromptu, we're going to participate in a massive, massive revival. May God give us grace to do it. Since we now live by the Holy Spirit, let us stay in step with the Spirit, and we'll have power to move in freedom from self to serve God and to serve others. Is the praise band coming up? Come on up, guys. I'll pray for us, and while they gather up, Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your love to us. We praise you, Father, that there is therefore now no condemnation for anybody in this room. I want to pray for your Spirit to move in such a way, Lord, that we will sense your love for us no matter what we have done or where we have come from. That you're a God of new starts. You're a God of new creation. You're a God of resurrection. You're a God of incredible hope. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to give us freedom from sin so that we could live whole, we could live healthy, we could live incredibly productive, beautiful lives, sharing it with other people who are also the bride of Christ. Father, we love you for the day. Now thank you and bless you as we close this worship service. I ask, Lord God, that something would stick for each person, even if it had nothing to do with the message that your Spirit spoke to each person, that we would leave here encouraged until we meet again here next Lord's Day. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And all God's people said, amen.
Stand with me. Please stand as we close. And we want to thank our brother Keith for a great word from the Father as we have continued this series of Freedom in Christ. Such a great challenge as we leave here today, knowing that this has been a great opportunity for us to gather as family on Sunday. We get to come together. We get to love on each other. We get to see God in this incarnation through each other, through the Holy Spirit, to just love each other. And what a wonderful thing to know that we no longer have to live in sin. We can live in the flow of the Holy Spirit to receive God's great blessings over our lives that we may expand His kingdom. What a great word that it's not about us. It's about Him. So as you leave today, as you receive this blessing and leave here today, may you be encouraged to go and serve God and serve others. So leave with this blessing by the power of our Father and the grace of the Holy Spirit and the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are dismissed.